There is no religion higher than truth. This is the motto for the Theosophical Society. Hello and welcome to Occult Lives, or as my friend said as he read the script, Occult Lives. In this show, we look at various figures in occult history. This episode will be about Madame Helena Blavatsky and the Theosophical Society. This is the story of a Russian lady and her contact with the Ascended Masters, who wanted her to start a new society for the benefit of humanity. There are two schools of thought regarding this lady. Either you believed her and her claims of contact with the spirit world and the masters of wisdom, or you can regard her as a very clever fraud who duped her friends, family, and many followers. Madame B, as she preferred to be known, was born Helena Petrovna Hahn to Colonel Peter Hahn and Helena Fadiev in 1831. Born into Russian aristocracy, she lived a privileged life, but as a child, she displayed mediumistic powers along with a taste for knowledge and a tongue for languages. At the age of 17, she was married to Nikifor Blavatsky, a much older gentleman. He was the governor of Erevan, yet there is some mystery as to what occurred in those first days of marriage, because Helena had run away from the matrimony within weeks back to her father. He realised she would not return to her husband, so instead he gave an allowance that allowed her to travel the world. It was with this freedom that Madame Blavatsky began her exploits, which included fighting in the wars for Garibaldi, entertaining people with her piano playing, and touring Europe. She also got into Tibet, where she studied with various lamas, which probably attracted her to the masters of the White Brotherhood. The masters, or Mahatmas as they were sometimes known, were adepts, able to perform feats that would look like miracles to us ordinary mortals. They were men who had renounced the secular materialistic life for a deeply spiritual one, and their mission as part of being in the Great White Brotherhood was to teach the world how to become a united humanity. They are said to have lived in anonymity in sacred places on the planet, often hinted at as being in the East, yet one cannot find them, they find you. They were not allowed to interfere in human affairs with their powers, but they could find initiates to teach their wisdom to. And Master Moya, and Master Kutumi's chosen pupil, was Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. It was in 1851 that she met the master for the first time, apparently in London. Some reports say it was along the banks of the Serpentine, others at the Crystal Palace in Hyde Park, and another suggestion is that it was all code for the seaside resort of Folkestone. England was their rendezvous. Madame B spoke English with a northern accent, having been taught the language by a Yorkshire woman. She recognised the man who was to become her master because she had seen him before many times in dreams and visions. She knew he was special. His name was Moya, and he informed her that she had been chosen to join an elite society, the White Brotherhood. Did she have a special ability, or was she so finely tuned in her attitude that the masters recognised her to be the right person for the job? She had had psychic and mediumistic type abilities since a child, and was regarded as a rebel in her nature. Madame Blavatsky used the elementals to do her work in creating phenomena, non-human beings of which elves and fairies are just two sorts. How this occurred is still a mystery. Nobody has been able to prove Madame B's claims to be correct or bogus, but she explains how she does it in her own esoteric works entitled Isis Unveiled and the Secret Doctrine. Madame Blavatsky's own accounts of her meetings with Moya sometimes vary and even at times are conflicting. Helena accepted Moya's invitation and went off to be trained in the East. Her family lost contact with her during this time, and it was many years before they were to receive a message about her under rather odd conditions. A letter was delivered to them by an Asian messenger. The letter was written by Kutumi, one of the masters who Blavatsky had gone to be taught by. Once the Blavatsky family had received the letter, the messenger just vanished before their eyes. So who are these masters, these Mahatmas? Madame B writes in her Collected Writings, Volume 6, that a Mahatma is a personage who by special training and education has evolved those higher faculties and has attained that spiritual knowledge. It is suggested by K. Paul Johnson that the Mahatma Moya was a prince in Kashmir known as Rambig Singh, who had renounced his throne and kingdom for spiritual pursuits. The second master to come into Madame B's life was Kutumi, who again, according to Johnson, had been a Sikh spiritual leader before his call into the Brotherhood. His birth name was Sardar Singh Sahdanwala. Madame Blavatsky travelled to Tibet to meet him. She became his student and lived at his house while he educated her in esoteric wisdom. Blavatsky never let on the birth names of these men, maybe she never knew them, but they were living men, living gurus, whose earthly lives seemed shrouded in mystery. Moya became known as M and Kutumi as KH in any conversation or writing regarding them by Madame Blavatsky of the Theosophical Society. So these masters were living humans who have evolved in human stature. They have become almost like Buddha, able to view the world differently from us smaller humans as they developed on their spiritual path and are able to perceive higher planes of living. Madame Blavatsky finally left her masters, as any good student does. She arrived in the USA in 1873 and lived in various residences in New York City. There, her encounters with the fairy folk were still causing her so much mischief that one night, while she slept, they stitched her nightdress to the bed so that she could not get up in the morning. In 1874, whilst travelling in America and researching various paranormal reports, Helena was to meet a man who was to become her closest companion. Olcott referred to their friendship as the chumship and called her by the name of Jack. Both were adamant to all it was a purely platonic relationship and rested on their interest in the mysteries of the human race. Henry Steele Olcott was born in New Jersey in the same year as Helena. They met in 1874 when both of them went to Vermont to investigate the seances being held at a farm there owned by the Eady brothers. Olcott had been given the title Colonel for his service to the armed forces, a title of internal affairs, which included being one of the investigators into Abraham Lincoln's assassination. Olcott and Blavatsky became firm friends, and together they worked on spiritual matters, which included investigating fraudulent mediums. Both had a fascination with the occult and the possibilities of communicating with the dead and the implications that would occur if their spiritual investigations gained proof of life after death. Olcott was fascinated by Buddhism and was one of the first Americans to become one. He was an adamant believer in Blavatsky and her ability to conjure up spirits, including one calling himself King John, a leader of a group of spirits, who revealed himself to have been the buccaneer John Morgan when he had been alive. Madame Blavatsky began her life defending spiritualism, but she soon realised that amongst its few genuine mediums, there were many more fraudulent ones. She states in a letter to a newspaper that she was converted to spiritualism by Douglas Home when they were both in France, though some theosophists deny they ever met. Most mediums were controlled by the spirits. Blavatsky, like King Solomon before her, controlled them. Blavatsky and Olcott travelled to India together, and both have written of their adventures out there, which include a tale of the colonel having to ride a five-legged cow. It was there in India they set up their legacy, the Theosophical Society. The Theosophical Society was actually formed in November 1875 by Madame Blavatsky and her good friend Colonel Olcott, along with a third man, William Judge, in New York City. The word theosophy was picked from a dictionary and meant divine wisdom. The masters of the White Brotherhood were the inner founders, who had chosen Blavatsky and Olcott to be the outer founders, the front of the world. The masters guided Blavatsky and Olcott in the running of the society. Its main aim being to form a nucleus of a universal brotherhood of humanity without distinction of race, creed, sex or colour. Its motto, no religion higher than truth, led it to promote religions from the East and the West, as well as the study of the sciences. The society investigated and researched psychical phenomena, which sometimes Madame B produced herself. The masters visited Blavatsky often, sometimes in an astral form, sometimes in a physical form, but to Olcott it was always only on the physical plane they appeared. On his first meeting with one in India, he was so unsure the man before him was real, living and breathing flesh and blood, that the master left him his turban as proof. It was in India that Madame B and Colonel Olcott set up their theosophical headquarters. It was during this time that an old acquaintance came back into Madame Blavatsky's life. Madame B met Emma Cutting in Cairo, Egypt, back in 1871. They were introduced because Emma had recently lost her brother, and Madame B was regarded as a great spiritualist. She worked in a room she rented that had a red curtain to corner off the area where she worked her mediumship. Madame B performed a séance for Emma, but the brother did not appear or leave a message. Madame B asked the disappointed Emma to come back in a few days. This she did to find the room full of disgruntled people and Madame Blavatsky gone. There seemed to be in the room talk of some discrepancies about what was found there. Ropes and pulleys behind the red curtain were suggesting fraudulent mediumship. Emma bumped into Madame B later and asked her what had occurred. The medium blamed a friend of hers and said that she was leaving for Russia. Emma didn't see Blavatsky again for a few years. In that time, Emma met and married Alexis Colin and started and failed in a number of business ventures with him. In 1879, Madame Blavatsky was living in India when the Colins got back in touch. They were stuck in Sri Lanka with no money, no home, and in need of aid. Madame Blavatsky replied that she was poor and the society could only help fund members. The Colins immediately signed up. The fare was paid and the Colombs had passage to Agir, where Madame Blavatsky and the Colonel had set up the Theosophical Society headquarters. They arrived with few possessions and Madame B welcomed them with open arms. The Colombs moved in and did various chores around the house for rent, Emma soon moving into the housekeeping role and her husband that of the handyman. The new HQ for the Society was an idyllic spot called the Crow's Nest in an area of Bombay by the Agir River. It was a large house with a flat roof. Madame B lived upstairs on the roof, converting an old storage room into the occult room with her boudoir next to it. This occult room held a shrine to the Masters and the White Brotherhood. This was a large cedarwood cabinet said to be around 5 foot by 4. It held a shelf with a bowl on alongside a statue of Buddha and a portrait of Kuthumi. This portrait was said to be in colour and been produced by Madame Blavatsky. She hadn't painted it, it had just phenomenally appeared. There was a 7-foot-high curtain around the shrine. Letters to the Masters could be placed in the shrine and answers would duly be received there. The Masters wrote letters to Blavatsky that seemed to appear out of thin air. The first letter Madame Blavatsky received from a Master was from a Tutit Bey who belonged to the Luxor Brotherhood, a branch of the White Brotherhood. It was addressed to Olcott, but was sent via precipitation to Madame B. She wasn't the only person to be given such letters. Colonel Olcott received them in mysterious ways too. Once he was seated reading a book on a train when one fluttered down from the ceiling to his feet. He looked around, then picked it up, impressed it was from the Master. He checked the train, but there was no sign of a Master or Madame Blavatsky, who was back at the HQ. The Masters wrote their letters on special paper and with colourful ink. Moyo's handwriting was in red ink, whilst Kuthumi's was usually in blue. Precipitation is the name for this transfer of items from one place to another, and even through solid objects, like the ceiling of the train. It is like Star Trek's transporter system, but does not operate with technology, but the mind. It is the same type of principle. An object, in this case a letter, is broken down into minute atoms and transported through the ether to reassemble at the designated arrival spot, and all in a matter of seconds. If another member of the society wished to send a letter of correspondence to a Master, they would write it out, put it in an envelope, then give it to Madame Blavatsky to pass on to the designated Master. It is thought she precipitated these letters, just like the Masters did when they were sending them to her or other TS members. There was no address to send a letter to the Master to. The shrine was renowned for materializations of objects and letters. One day, when a friend of Madame Blavatsky's visited it, it was used to mend some crockery. Madame B was away when the visitor arrived. He was Major General Morgan, and Madame Colomb welcomed him onto the estate. He expressed an interest in viewing the shrine, which Madame C agreed to, but as she opened the door, one of the china trays inside fell out and smashed. Madame Colomb was in quite a state about the broken china and about how angry Madame B would be. The general suggested that maybe the china tray could be mended by the masters, and so the pieces were placed together back into the shrine and the doors were shut. After a few moments, there was a sound from within the shrine. They decided to open the shrine doors and look in. Inside was a short note from the masters, as well as a fully repaired china tray. In 1884, the masters agreed to sit for a portrait. An artist was appointed in London named Hermann Schmeichen, a young German who had his own studio in the city. Madame Blavatsky and her friends were there to watch the art appear. Blavatsky chain-smoked throughout, her friends rolling her the cigarettes. The smoke from hers and anybody else partaking in smoking rolled onto the platform. Schmeichen stood at the easel as if going into a trance. He was a psychic artist. He had not met the masters in the flesh, nor seen a photograph, but he stared into the cigarette smoke on the stage that had accumulated under the hot lights. Then he began to draw an outline of a head onto the paper. As Schmeichen drew, the tension grew even though there was no actual model in the room. The artist saw his model in the astral light that only he could see. Schmeichen continued to draw, producing first one face, that of Kutumi, then a second that was Master Moya. It was a few years later that Emma Collum began to tell a different story to that of Madame Blavatsky regarding the materialisations of letters and sightings of the masters. According to Emma, Madame Blavatsky's real name was Madame Metrovich and that they had met in Egypt some years ago. Regarding all the phenomena with regard to the masters and their appearance in astral form, Emma reported that it was she who helped Madame B make a dummy to represent the master Kutumi. This was to be used on many occasions on Madame Blavatsky's instructions. Madame Collum was to take the dummy and make it appear from afar for Alcott and other theosophists to notice and for them to mistake it for a master. Madame Collum claims that she burnt the dummy after the deceptions. Emma told everybody she could that she was made to drop letters through trees and floorboards to Alcott and other theosophists without their knowledge, letters supposedly written by the masters, but Madame Collum claimed were actually in Madame Blavatsky's hands. She also said that her husband, the handyman, had fitted fake doors and panels to the shrine in the occult room so that Madame Blavatsky could pull off all her fake paranormal phenomena. Madame Blavatsky later admitted she did write some of the letters, but that was because they were dictated to her telepathically by the masters. In November 1884, the Society for Psychical Research sent the 29-year-old Australian, Richard Hodson, to India to investigate Madame Blavatsky and her shrine. Hodgson arrived on the 18th of December 1884. Madame Blavatsky was in Colombo, but the Collums and some other theosophical members were at the TH headquarters. Hodgson was refused to view the shrine by the Chila Damodar, but some other theosophists Hodgson petitioned were happy to show him and to prove the authenticity of the occult room. Hodgson had a good look at the shrine, the room, the layout of the upper floor which held it, and Madame Blavatsky's boudoir. Hodgson noticed that the shrine itself was up against a wall, and that it also had steel wires that held it as if from the ceiling. Behind the wall was Madame Blavatsky's bedroom. Curtains surrounded the shrine, which had originally been a cupboard. The cupboard was inspected thoroughly by Hodgson, and reports differ as to whether he discovered secret compartments himself or if they just opened for him. He also reported that the walls around the shrine had fresh plaster to them, which he deduced to be part of the trickery, along with the hole in the frame that he said could be used to put letters or objects through into the shrine, and that they were all linked to Madame Blavatsky's room next door. The accusations he made regarding that the shrine was a fraud concerned the other theosophists who had come into the room with him. They decided to remove the shrine from the room, take it downstairs to the gardens to dismantle, and burnt it all. From his investigations, Richard Hodgson declared Madame Blavatsky a fraud and claimed that she had faked the letters and the masters, that they were fictitious characters, and that she had duped the Collums into being her assistants in her tricks. He also declared that all her talents regarding marbles were performed to people who were easily duped or were perhaps hallucinating. The report was made to the Society for Psychical Research the next year, and when Madame V read it, she was enraged. The report did a lot of damage to the Theosophical Society, and many resigned from it. For publicity's sake, a leading theosophist talked Madame Blavatsky to write her biography in the hope it would clear her name. Madame Blavatsky was devastated at the accusations put against her and was upset that her friend Emma Colomb was now denying any of the phenomena produced was real. She accused the Colombs of lying and deceit and was rather alarmed at the changes they had made to the occult room, including the addition of the hidden compartments to the shrine cupboard. She never got to see what they had done to the cupboard, as it had been burnt by the other theosophists. All letters of correspondence between Madame Blavatsky and Colomb were destroyed by Elliot Coues, an American ornithologist who had started the Esoteric Theosophical Party in America, even though he had lost faith in Madame Blavatsky after the India incident. In 1986, Vernon Harrison opened up the case against Madame Blavatsky by the Society of Psychical Research, and he put forward a strong case against Hodgson's findings. Harrison started by saying that the case had not been dealt with as a scientific study and that a lot of Hodgson's evidence seemed dubious. Harrison, a member of the SPR since 1937, wrote the following about Hodgson's report. He, Hodgson, quotes verbal and uncorroborated statements of unnamed witnesses. He cites documents which are neither reproduced in his report nor identifiable. He advances conjecture as established fact, and he makes his handwriting experts change their mind until they give him the answers he wants. The possibility that someone other than HBB could have written the Mahatma letters was never considered. This list of misdemeanours alone would render the Hodgson report inadmissible in a court of law. The report by Harrison was in-depth and critical. It continues with Harrison arguing that the Hodgson report is not the model of impartial investigation so often claimed for it over the past century. It is flawed and untrustworthy, and Hodgson's observations and conclusions need to be taken with a considerable portion of salt. This led to an apology from the Society of Psychical Research towards Madame Blavatsky and the Theosophical Society, withdrawing their remarks about her and the Hodgson report against her. Madame Helena Petrova Blavatsky spent her last years in London, first at 17 Lansdowne Road, then her final days at 19 Avenue Road. She passed away on the 8th of May 1891 in her armchair and with her friends beside her. She was 60 years old. Her ashes were scattered between the three continents she had lived in, Europe, America and India. What actually happened back in those days in India? Was Madame Blavatsky for real, or were the Colombs her willing accomplices in her fraud? Well, wouldn't we all like to know? Madame Colomb brought out her own book entitled Some Account of My Intercourse with Madame Blavatsky from 1872 to 1884. All you have heard has been looked up and researched by myself, but you can find out more on Madame Blavatsky in books, the web, talking and libraries. Thanks for listening. Until next time, peace and out.